Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of thriving through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. If you aspire towards exceptional parenthood and are looking to navigate the joys and challenges of raising children in our fast-paced world, you've found your tribe. I'm Philippa Scott and...
I'm Philippa Cox. Together we're Philippa Squared. Unpacking the real talk on modern parenting, peeling back the layers of its complexity from pregnancy and birth to the adventures beyond. This podcast is your guide to unraveling the nuances of parenting in today's world.
And we're keeping it real, sharing stories and having conversations with insightful guests, giving you clarity and direction on your parenting journey.
This is where your adventure begins. Transforming the challenge into a journey of wonder and joy, where you discover ways to craft your own parenthood map, not just follow the one handed down to you.
So settle in, get comfy, and let's laugh, learn, and grow into the parent you aspire to be. Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design.
Hello, and welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Pippa, for joining me, Philippa Scott. Pippa, it's lovely to see you again.
Oh, it's so lovely to see you as well, Philippa. I love these little chats that we have. They're so good, aren't they?
They're great fun. I think that's the overwhelming response we've had from our podcast guests, actually, is that we make it fun.
Well, with you and me, how could it not be fun? Really?
I do love it. Okay, so today we are talking about that third trimester burnout, stress, overwhelm, the discomfort, all of that sort of thing that kind of builds up. You tend to get to the third trimester and everything kind of hits you all at once. And often we're still working or we've got other children to care for. So we're talking about all of that stuff today. How to decrease the stress in that space and why it's important. So,
yeah. And particularly coming into summer. Oh. I mean, third trimester in summertime in Queensland is like.
Can I tell you, I did three summer babies or nearly summer babies in Townsville. So I had a November 19 baby. I had a October 12 baby. I also had a 1st of February baby.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And that was before air conditioning was in every household as well.
Oh, we put air conditioning in, I can promise you that one. Oh, and I had a rule, if you didn't have aircon, I wasn't coming. but it didn't help on those nights when we had brownouts and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that 1st of February baby was my 9-pound-7 baby too, and I already had two other children. So I totally feel what being big and in that last trimester and all the discomfort and everything else that goes with that. And I think one of the things that I think there's some beautiful design to that, right? Because, you know, it says that when we get to the end of the pregnancy, we're so over it. It's like, just, I don't care what it takes to get this baby out. We're just doing this thing because I'm done with the pregnancy, right? So there's some design to that, I feel. The only problem is when we take that design to and we take the overwhelm and all of that, and when we go, I'm just going to do anything it takes to get this baby out rather than being patient, that can be a bit of a problem. But
yeah,
we want to talk about the stress, don't we, too?
Yeah, because when you're in your third trimester and it's that you get to that uncomfortable stage, like you're all energized through your second trimester, you've got this, it's all really good. And then the 28, 30 weeks comes around and all of a sudden you poke out really suddenly. It's like, oh, yes, you are pregnant after all. And oh, boy, you feel it too, don't you, Philippa?
Yeah, you do.
You really do. And then you've got work, and then you've got the children, and then you've got the singing practice, the soccer practice, the dance, and the athletics, and anything else that the kids are involved in. And I see so many women super, super busy and super stressed when they're pregnant, that they kind of forget themselves.
Yeah.
Because as women, as mothers, Philippa, what are we doing?
Okay.
We are caring for everybody else.
Yeah.
And yet we always tend to leave ourselves last.
Yeah.
Whereas one of the things on our show that we want to promote is that concept of self-care.
Mm.
Because if we care for ourselves, look at ourselves, and actually understand ourselves and know ourselves, it tends to make life a lot easier.
Yeah.
And that is true when you are pregnant as well.
Yeah. I think one of the things we need to keep in mind too in stress in the third trimester is once we are in that third trimester, our babies can, they know what we're feeling. They know what we're, because they're starting to get ready for the outside world, right? So they're starting to take in all of these messages about what the environment is like. They can taste the food. They can feel your feelings. They know what kind of environment they're going to come out into. Are they coming out into a stressful environment? Do they need to have more adrenaline and so on running around in their system because it's a stressful environment? Is it a calm and peaceful environment? Can their autonomic nervous system be at calm most of the time? So they are getting all of these messages. These beautiful little babies are starting to prepare for the outside world. Now, if the outside world that you're experiencing is stressful and high activity and there is not enough time and it's go, 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 go all the time, that's exactly what your child is going to be programmed for.
And because if there's this beautiful, lovely hormones, a set of hormones called corticosteroids, they're our stress hormones. And when we are stressed, we naturally secrete them. In fact, I read a statistic recently, and I know you can prove anything with statistics. 97% of the total population knows that, but they're good for guidelines, right? That's what I like about them. They're good for just, oh, I didn't know that. It's quite interesting. But get this, 90% of people in the Western world have elevated levels of corticosteroids, of the stress hormone. 90% of Western society.
Yep.
I'm just going to stop for a second so everybody can bring that in, take that in. So what this actually does, this corticosteroid, it actually increases our inflammation in our body. This is all scientifically proven. So
you said inflammation, actually, is that right? Not inflammation.
Inflammation. Yes. Inflammation. So it increases our susceptibility to disease. So it lowers our immune system, because when we've got high corticosteroids, our immune system decreases. It's that beautiful interplay of hormones in our bodies that go when we're not pregnant. It's a beautiful symphony when we're not pregnant. And then when we are pregnant, it sort of amps up a little bit. It doesn't just 10x, it sort of 100x's. And anybody who's pregnant will be able to verify that, I'm sure. I'm sure. So that's one thing that it does for us. Lowers our immune system, increases our likelihood of developing some kind of disease. Any disease, you pick one, anyone, and it increases our likelihood of that. But not only that, we have this beautiful organ called the placenta, and it's the only organ that we actually make ourselves, well, apart from, you know, in utero, but I'm talking about when we're adults, we actually grow it ourselves. And what this does, it filters all those beautiful nutrients from mama's blood through the placenta, through that little umbilical cord that goes into our belly button and goes into our baby. So all those beautiful nutrients, so from all that beautiful green leafy vegetables that I know all you girls are eating because they too decrease inflammation as well. And protein, because I know we're upping our protein in while we're pregnant, aren't we? Because our protein levels actually require it to be quite high. But not only that, all these little hormones that are running around, the corticosteroids and all those other messengers in our body go through the placenta. So when you are feeling happy and blissful and sublime and just life couldn't get any better, that is the message that your baby is getting.
Yeah.
And then if you are getting, oh, my God, I'm so rushed. Oh, my gosh, I got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and I'm always tense, then that is what your baby is feeling as well.
Absolutely.
And I know when you're a doula and you saw women going through their pregnancy and they were chilled out and meditated every day and just had that beautiful, lovely behavior of relaxation versus someone who was type A and hyper stressful and everything had to be organized in its place. And if it didn't, you got really upset. With people like that, it's interesting how they play out in their birth and also how it plays out in early motherhood as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's almost a catch-22 then, right? Because the more stressed you are, the more stressed the baby is when it comes out, which means the more stressed you are. And it's like this loop, right? Because a newborn baby doesn't come out and go, oh, she was just worried about whether or not she could keep the house clean. I don't have to worry about that, right? Like this newborn doesn't come out and look at all this logically and go, yeah, she was, you know, she's just dealing with her own trauma or she's just, that's not my stuff to carry on. And it's interesting because when Paisley was born, I knew that her mother had had a pretty big time. You know, she'd split up with her partner only 2 weeks before. So there'd been this real, you know, it was really stressful through her pregnancy. Now, this baby was taking on all of that. And she is now the most chilled baby. And I think I've told this story before, but it's really important here. I knew that there was going to be stress for her. I knew there was going to be, and she had a beautiful, peaceful birth, which was fabulous. And that was because of lots of training and culture around birth that Alana had had. So there was no fear in that space. But because of the anxiety that she'd carried through that, through some of the parts of the pregnancy, when I got this baby, which was about an hour and a half or so in when Alana was getting out of the pool, and I just said to Paisley, I said, you are wanted, you are loved, you are precious, and all of that anxiety, all of that stress, that is not yours to carry. You can let it go. It doesn't belong to you. So you can let it go now, right?
And, beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful, Philippa.
And she is just super chill. But, you know, she was in that real liminal phase between wake and sleep. She's just kind of chilling there, not really awake, not really asleep. And I just gave her the message and I repeated that message over the next few days as I got to have little cuddles here and there. But, you know, you can release that generational trauma and you can release that stress and anxiety, but better yet to not have it at all, right? She'd only had sort of a couple of times in there, whereas, you know, some women I speak to, they are so stressed or they're working right up until the last minute and they're stressed about getting everything done. And maybe they've actually got, you know, a huge amount of stress around becoming a parent. Around, do I know what I'm doing? Can I make this happen? I have a bad example of what it is to be a mother or I have a shitty relationship with my mother. How am I supposed to do better? You know, like all of these things can impact on our stress level. And I know what it's like to not have time to do the work. I think the biggest regret that I have for my fourth baby was that I didn't put the same level of work in for my fourth as I did for my third. I didn't do the visualizations. I didn't do the imagining. I didn't spend as much time preparing myself for that birth. Now, it was still a pretty easy birth, but it was not as easy as it could have been had I actually done the work. And so, you know, we want to create an easeful space for us and for our babies. And by putting in the work and doing the things to reduce that stress, we can make that happen.
Yeah. And the first thing about it, and it's so true, isn't it? And self-awareness is one of the first things. If we're aware of where we're at, if we're aware of what we're thinking, if we're aware of where we're holding our energy in our bodies, it's the first way we can really start to understand where we are in this world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. And one of the things, dear, was I forgot what I was going to say there. It just went.
That seems to be happening a lot to us lately.
Yeah. It does. It's got nothing to do with wisdom and menopause. Nothing to do with menopause at all, Philippa.
I tell you what is important out of while you're thinking about it. What's important about what you were talking about there is you know, thinking about where our energy is and thinking about how stress runs through our body and being able to recenter that and you know, change the physiology of our body and where how the stress is manifesting in our physical body. And there are lots of ways to do that. I've just actually put together a course, a 5-minute emotional reset for parents so that they can in their body just take that 5 minutes to drop their energy down, become calm, reset with a quick meditation or just being aware of their body. And then doing some of the I choose to know statements that come out of Judith Richards' incredible TRTP therapy. And just, you know, choosing a positive mindset around all of that stuff. But it actually makes a huge difference when we can do that in our physiology and our psychology, just resetting, right? Just reset, but we have to be aware of it first.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. This is what I was going to say. So, you know, when you've had a really busy day and you're exhausted at the end of it, exhausted. Now, it took me a long time to realize why I was exhausted. And it was only through doing Qigong and practicing Qigong that I actually realized at the end of the day why I was exhausted after a busy day.
Yeah.
We're holding ourselves in a state of tension. Our bodies are tense. When we're stressed, what do we naturally do? We tense our muscles up in our body. But it's not just our muscles, it's our fascia, it's our soft tissue, it's all of that. So if we're running around the day stressed, using up all this energy in the contraction mode of our body, by the end of the day, we are tired. And it wasn't until I realized that when I was practicing Qigong that I was able to get into a flow where I could be in a really, really, really busy day. And when I was working in a hospital, you know what they're like, it can be stupidly, ridiculously busy and it can change at a moment's notice. And I found that I could have a busy 10-hour shift running and running and running for 10 hours, not even having a bathroom break, barely. And I'd come out of the hospital and I'd feel enlivened. I felt energized. I felt really good. I did not feel tired because I learned how to move when I'm in flow, when I'm in a relaxed mode, not when I'm in a contracted, stressed up mode. And that was a light bulb moment for me. So one of the things in my coaching and my programs that I teach is to get into this flow state through the centering of our energy, through the breath. Yeah. That simple parasympathetic breath where you breathe in 2, 3, 4 and breathe out to the count of 6 to 8. Or the box breathing where you breathe in for 4, hold for 4 and breathe out for 4. And when you do that and you only have to start off for 1 minute and notice the change. And this is the key to actually creating a life where you actually can be in flow, where you can wake up and feel that you have all the time in the world. You can do this. It is possible through breathing, through our physiology, the way that we hold ourselves.
Mm.
Are we holding ourselves straight? Is our chest out or are we hunched over? Where is our energy? Is our energy up high or is it down low? Mm-hmm. And where is, and you are so good at this, Philippa, where is your resting energy?
Yeah.
Where do you keep it? And that is one thing that everybody should really know.
Yeah.
And that's a should. I'm putting a should in there, Philippa.
Well, you know, they should be teaching this stuff in schools. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life would be so much easier for the whole population if people had this basic life mastery, because that's what it is. It's life mastery. I just wish I learned it when I was 20 or when I was 15 instead of in my 50s.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's interesting you talk about that, because I, you know, that same 5-minute reset course for parents, I'm gonna just tweak it and create it for birth workers and people who are going to be at births, whether that's partners or whoever. And then I'm gonna tweak it again and I'm gonna create it for childcare workers, because anyone involved with young children needs to know this, because again, we think back to the law of entrainment. The way we are is the way that's going to come out for everybody around us as well, and we're impacting them. So when we learn this stuff through our pregnancy, we actually are able to then use it throughout our parenting, and we're able to impact our child forever in a positive way through the law of entrainment, because we've managed our own energy and our own stress levels to a place where we can impart that skill.
Boom. Boom. Stop. Absorb. Absorbed. I hope everybody has absorbed that, because that is prolific.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm about. This is what you're about. This is why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I left clinical practice, because I was just seeing too many women stressed out, too many women coming to my service, to our service, who had had traumatic birth, because people weren't listening to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Have you heard of a big study? It's a massive study called the Doherty study. The massive longitudinal study, it's been going on for a long time, but it's all about psychology and children, basically. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they measured was toxic stress in pregnancy.
Yeah.
And it was quite a good study. Like, it was very robust and reliable.
Okay.
And what they discovered was that women who had what they call toxic stress, which was measured on questionnaire scale at several times during their pregnancy and after the baby's birth, I saw the last results at when the babies were 4 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a massive difference between the alertness of a baby at 4 months old that has a mother that has toxic stress than a mother that doesn't have toxic stress.
I believe
which
that.
Which I thought was really easy. Yeah, and we've seen it in our practice.
Well, we know too that the higher the stress levels of the parents, the higher the chance a child has of having asthma. And that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It makes absolute sense. So, you know, we need to be thinking about what stress is doing to our bodies and to our children. And it starts right from the pregnancy. It starts right from conception, all of that. And
beforehand even, really, because we're all about the beforehand bit before you actually do the to make the baby. We're all for that. It starts before, when you're thinking about wanting to have a child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes way back. And if we can, because, I mean, for even for men, right, the quality of the sperm goes back 7 or 8 weeks, right? So it's not, that's when it was generated, not the day that conception occurred. It goes way back. So we need to be thinking about our stress levels. You know, we're almost wearing stress as a badge of honor. And, you know, the busier we are, the better we are, and so on. And we really need to rethink that, because it's not doing anybody any favors at all.
No, it's destroying society. It's destroying society. Mm. That's what I think, because no one has room for anyone except what they're doing, just running around like a Tasmanian devil with Warner Brothers.
You know, it's interesting because we if we think about this from a sociological perspective, and given that that's what my degree is in, I do that. If we think about why are children in America, you know, what caused there to be such rigidity and, you know, early hours and extended hours in education and so on? What started that? Well, that started with the Russians. The Russians were set to beat the Americans to the moon, and they'd figured out how to do all of this stuff before the Americans. So the Americans decided, in order to make sure that they could continue to keep up and be ahead of the game, their children needed to do more work faster, right? And that they needed to be smarter. You know, I constantly hear from teachers this idea that Australian parents want to keep up with the kids in China who are learning how to do all this math by, you know, like high intelligence maths just off the top of their head, all of that sort of stuff. They're wanting to keep up on the smarts. Why can't we just want to keep up with how well our children are surviving and coping on an emotional level? You know, let's look at some of the cultures who do really good at mental health, who do really good at, you know, at health, at calm. let's try and beat them. that's what I'm going for.
And then you can go to the other side of the coin.
Yes.
And I've noticed in my travels that the closer you get to the equator, the more laid back people are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
Have you noticed that?
Is that just because it's hotter?
Yep.
You have more energy to do the things?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's what I reckon. And it's a theory that's been thrown around in academic circles as well.
Yeah.
I find it quite fascinating. And then it is, no matter where you live, whether you live in a hot climate or Tasmania or the top end of the Arctic Circle, you know, we're all human. We've all got the same human needs. We all have the same blood circulating throughout our bodies. It's just culture that keeps us changed, keeps us different.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, find your truth. Find what is true for you in terms of what you need in order to be able to make your family the family you want it to be. And think about your values. I've actually just created a free downloadable tool for families to figure out what their values are and know how to narrow them down, and then communicate that with a co-parent, whether you're in the same house or not. But being able to communicate those values so that you can have alignment on that and really know what's important to each parent. and how to bring that into your family space. Because if your value is health and mental health, then you're going to need to do things a little bit differently than somebody whose value is, I don't know, efficiency or, you know, productivity or something like that. So, you know, you really want to have a think about what it is that that you align with, and then how do you bring that in? What's really important to you?
Yeah, and that's all a part of getting to know yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I know years ago when I did a values elicitation, and it was like, so that's why. it was a great big light bulb moment in my head when I discovered, so that's why I like to do A, B, and C. Oh, that's why I'm in the profession of midwifery, all that type of stuff. I found it really interesting, yeah. Really interesting. And the thing is, there are ways to live free from stress. There are ways to live and lead a busy life without stress.
Yeah.
And all it takes, and I love your 5-minute reset, because all it takes is that long, even 1 minute in your day. And everybody can afford 1 minute, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure President Trump, sorry, did I say president? Is this even, and this, and sorry, the election isn't even done yet. That was a faux pas. Oh dear. You have to bleep that one out because that is so not one of my values. Yeah, but everybody can find between 1 and 5 minutes. And if someone takes on that challenge, I guarantee you, your life will start to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because all it takes is just that rewiring of your nervous system. Mm-hmm. And that is done.
Yeah. 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 It's about having a pattern interrupt, isn't it? Something to interrupt the pattern of just continuing on the same road. Sometimes we need a little interrupt.
And I smell burnt toast. Sorry, that's a bit of a joke. That's the pattern interrupt, isn't okay. It? Burnt toast.
Well, I mean, I would felt interrupted, so I don't.
Yeah, I interrupted you, and I interrupted me. So yeah, it's like yeah, but it is because our behaviors are alert and the patterns. So we get into this stressed pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
Of everything's got to go. So anyway, in your third trimester, as we're wrapping this up. Whether it's in summer, you can relax in a pool. If you're lucky enough to be by the sea that I am and Philippa is, then at least you can go into the sea or into the river, and that weightlessness, particularly in summertime, is incredible.
Yeah.
And then you can actually do some Australian crawl and actually help your muscles for your last trimester, your last month of pregnancy and your birth. Stretching all those muscles out for birth and evening them all up.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds really, really good. And just take those moments, that 1 minute to 5 minutes every day to center yourself and breathe and hold your chest up high.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much for another fascinating conversation. I hope you've all enjoyed it, listeners. Please subscribe. Share the podcast around, and if there's something that's come out of this for you, then we'd love to hear from you. Please remember we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, so you know, feel free to reach out and make contact with Pippa and I, and we'll get back to you. Yeah, we look forward to having more conversations. We will see
awesome.
You next week. Thanks, Pippa.
Okay.